Good morning. We're reading today from Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Why don't they wash their hands before they eat?" Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them." That ends our reading.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning, family. Good to see you all here. And I guess the message is praising him with our lips, right? That's something along those lines. Got a little taste of that last night. It's one of my guilty pleasures. I love wrestling in general, but this was the National College Wrestling Championships. And there's a young man who was a three-time champion, Aaron Brooks from Penn State, wrestled and won his championship last night. And the interview he had was quite interesting because he started and finished and throughout his whole interview with this interviewer, gave praise to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it was really interesting because the guy was asking him, "Well, when you were in this position, how did you do this?" And he said, "Well, that was the Holy Spirit." And then the guy gave him another scenario. "Well, when you were in this position," and Aaron looked over at the guy and he said, "Once again, the Holy Spirit." And he gave him a wink. But that was his testimony, and praising with his lips. And he asked him, said, "This is the grandest stage for college wrestling." And he goes, "I can't thank God enough for giving me this opportunity to be able to share this." You know, he has said, "I'm just a vessel, just to be able to share the word of God through this venue." So, amazing testimony. And, but again, as Pastor Randy has preached before, we go out and do this, sometimes we're going to get persecuted for it. And he is getting persecuted online so much. So I hope that you'll join me in praying for this young man during the week, that he will be able to persevere and not let any of this persecution bother him, that it just washes right off him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we give you thanks and praise once again for another day of life and breath, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the crisp weather that you've given us this morning, just to remind us that you are in total control. And Father God, as I received that email earlier this week with the prayer request for this church, Lord, I just pray that you cover all of the requests, Lord. And we know that your will be done, but that we would be abiding by everything that you have given us. And Father God, we pray for our missionaries that are out in the field, Lord. Lord, we pray that you give us, each one of us here and listening online, that missionary heart. As Joe had talked about earlier, that we were able to go out and spread your good word. And Father, speaking of Joe, we have a covering of healing for him, that you provide him comfort and care as he continues his rehabilitation. Lord, you know every cell in his body from his toes to the top of his head, Lord, and we just pray that you miraculously heal him to 100%. And Father, we pray for all of the ministries that go on here at the Phillipsburg Alliance Church and around. We pray for our sister churches in the area and that group of believers. And Father God, if there's somebody that's out there that has not received your son as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that this second be the second that their hearts are pierced, Lord, and that they would receive Jesus into their heart, Lord, and to start to develop that relationship. And Father, as Pastor Randy comes forward to preach the message that you have placed on his heart, Lord, I just pray that you give him a sense of boldness and courage that he could preach whatever it is that you place on his heart, Lord, and that we would be listening with attentive ears, that we would be focused exactly on the words that you would have us hear, Lord. And we pray that your Holy Spirit just engulf not just Pastor Randy, but this entire sanctuary, so that we may be able to take these words and be able to place them and use them in our daily lives as we go along for the rest of the week. And we pray this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before him. So God bless that young man and let him take the persecution in stride. Amen. Over the course of the last 17 weeks, we've been talking about love and Paul's definition of it, and we realize that this agape love, this love that will definitely cost you something, I think that's probably the best definition of agape love. It's sacrificial love, love that will cost you something to exercise it. We found as we unpacked it that it really is the hardest word to live. And if I were to share with my Christian friends, those people who have committed their lives to Christ, those who have said with their mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, if there is one set of messages that I could give, this would be it. But I want to tell you, as we unpack this love chapter, I realized just how difficult it was, because so often, even as Christians, the things that we talked about are very difficult to do, if you will. So often, we don't want to be kind, because kindness is not deserved. Can I get an amen? We lose our patience, and love is patient, love is kind, love it doesn't envy, doesn't boast, and all that. We lose our patience because people don't do or say what we want them to. We boast, we envy, we keep a strong record of wrongs, because when we get into an argument, sometimes the record is all that we have. The things we are called to do all the time or for all things, like always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, we don't do all the time. It's such a hard word to live, for sure. And unless we yield to the Holy Spirit moment by moment, not even day by day, but moment by moment, because we're tested about every moment, then it's actually impossible to do. It's possible to love like we are called to love without the Holy Spirit. So why on earth did I spend the last 4+ months talking about something that is nearly impossible without the Holy Spirit? And why do we do all that? Why do we spend so much time doing that? Well, I got to tell you, of all the messages that I have preached in nearly 35 years of preaching, these were the most important ones I could ever preach. For those of you who have confessed Jesus as Lord, you recognize that the greatest thing that we can do is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to love one another as Christ has loved us. This is the most important thing we can do, this side of glory. So herein lies the question as we kind of move forward after that series has ended. Here's the question, and we all have to answer this question. Are you ready for it? Do I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I love my neighbor as myself, and do I love my siblings in Christ as he has loved me? Do I desire to do so? It is truly the most important thing we will do this side of glory. Jesus said, on these commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. So these are the most important things in God's heart. The question is, are these the most important things to us? So I want to take you on a different journey today, as we're going to start, and what I anticipate is going to be a very long series. And that doesn't matter, because you're going to come to church every week anyway, right? It's going to be a long series, but we're going to kind of tap off where we just came, where we talk about what the definition of love is, Paul's definition, and now we're going to go into the practice side, the exercise of what this is, and to see if there really is evidence in our life that we are people who love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbors, and love our siblings in Christ. Are you with me, church? We're going to go to prayer, and then we're going to get right into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for these good people, Lord, and we thank you for their hearts toward you. But Father, I doubt there's a person in this room who doesn't desire to be even closer still. And so, Father, would you work a work in us? Would you help us to agape love you and others? And Father, would you somehow move us in that direction and equip us by your Spirit as we yield to him? And now, Father, we ask that you would be our teacher, because if I'm just giving these people my words, it's absolutely worthless. So would you speak to me and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed. And Lord, would you protect us all from having any of our flesh creep into this time and otherwise distract us? And Lord, again, we ask that you would work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears, that you would be glorified and that we would hear exactly what you want us to hear. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get into the message, I want to just make one little note. Please consider being a part of the Gideons and giving out scripture. If you were like me in high school, you might say, well, I don't read. My libraries have over a couple thousand books in them now, many, many, many of which I've read cover to cover. But when I was in high school, I read two books, and I thought nobody reads in high school. And yet I had a dear friend. He was a voracious reader. He was an atheist. And I started sharing Jesus with him over the 4 years, and eventually I gave him The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. And although he was a voracious reader, he became an attorney. He went to UMass Amherst, brilliant man. And he said, that's some of the best writing I've ever read. He started reading more C.S. Lewis stuff, and before you know it, he turned his life over to Christ. Just because you may not be a reader, you may not think that if you were a high school student, you'd sit there and read a New Testament, doesn't mean that everybody is like you. What a great opportunity. Here are these two men that we saw. They took what the people were handing them, and they read it, and their lives were changed. Just a little bit of more of a, hopefully, an encouragement to you. In the Christian and Missionary Alliance, if you want to join with this church, you have to go through an elder interview after you have gone through the membership classes, after you have given us your credit card number and the little CV, the card number on the back. But the Christian Missionary Alliance requires, above everything else, these two things. Number one, a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Is he your Lord and your Savior? And second of all, is there evidence of regeneration? Is there evidence in your life that Jesus Christ has changed you? We require that. Now, it's interesting to note, and I was talking to Joe last night about this. He probably has the up-to-date statistics, but as of 2022, the Gallup poll says that 81% of Americans say they believe in God. 81%. Now, that's down about 6% from just 5 years ago, 2017. And I got to tell you, since that phrase, I believe in God, means so many different things to different people. You can be a Hindu, ask the person, do you believe in God? And they say, yeah, I believe in hundreds of millions of gods. All these people that have become gods, all these humans that eventually become gods. You talk to a Muslim, and they're going to talk about Allah, and they're going to talk about a different God than what maybe you would be presenting. And then, of course, you have everybody's idea of what a higher power might be, and they say, yeah, I believe in God. So you got an 81% figure, and to tell you the truth, because everybody interprets that question differently, it really means nothing to me. So these are the questions that I would ask as follow-ups if I could keep the person's attention, for sure. And I need to ask a request of somebody. Never mind. They're right here, my glasses. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Here we go. These would be the follow-up questions if I ask the person, do you believe in God? Are you with me right now? You don't have to write them down, but just kind of take note of them. Number one, I would say, do you believe in the God of the Bible as he is written about? If they still hang with me, do you believe not just that he exists, but that he desires a relationship with his creation? I have a feeling that number starts to dip. Do you believe that intimacy, that relationship is possible through surrendering your life to God's only begotten Son, Jesus? And I have a feeling that the statistic drops. You follow me, church? Have you, believing all this, have you put your faith in Jesus? And then the last question, which may make them run, what evidence could you cite in your own life that Jesus really lives in you? What evidence of regeneration? Has being born again changed your life? Those would be the questions I would ask. And I have a feeling that number would dip to a very low number. I think they're all legitimate questions. Because if you tell me that you are a lover of God, that you love Jesus, that you've received him into your heart, and you've got some kind of a relationship with him, then I think it's legitimate to ask, is there evidence of that? Because you can't ask the Son of Glory, the creator of it all, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to come crashing into your life and remain the same. Can I get an amen? If you say that he's your Savior and Lord and nothing's changed, then nothing has changed. I think the same question, do you love God, and the follow-up questions could be asked of us this way. Do you believe in God? Can be asked this way. Do you love God? Do you love God? I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you love God? Well, let's pause for a second. Before you jump and say, yes, I love God. There is so much to love God about. So much his grace and his mercy that's just poured out over us all the time. John, in his little letter, 1 John chapter 3, says it's something like this. How great a love the Lord has lavished on us or poured on us that he should call us his children, and that is what we are. Oh, what manner of love, I think the King James says. Oh, what manner of love the Father has lavished, poured out on us. And he calls us his children. So much love. And I think Jeremiah in Lamentations 3 said it this way. If it were not for the Lord's great love, we would be what? Consumed. How oftentimes I pray, Lord, how come you haven't consumed this wretch? Paul writes the same words in the book of Romans. He said, what a wretched man that I am. We think so highly of Paul, and we ought to. But he saw himself in light of his own sinfulness. And because of the Lord's great love, he's not consumed. But his compassions never fail. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. There's so much to love God about, for sure. So the question is, do you love God? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15 in just a few minutes. But as I read beyond what we're going to be in today, and I looked at what Jesus talked about loving God, I had so much conviction. And I said, if I'm going to answer that question, I have to answer it honestly. Do I love God? And the answer is no. I don't love him the way God wants me to love him, but I desire to. In fact, it's my greatest desire. It's my greatest passion. I want to love him, but I fail so miserably so often when I look at what Jesus talks about in Matthew 15. I said, that's me. That's me. So I must not love God, but it is my greatest desire. I believe this is that work that Paul talks about in Philippians, that he who began a good work in you is going to carry it through to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. He began something in me. No, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm getting there. You follow me, church? Is anybody with me? All right. Well, I want to take a look today at this wonderful passage in Matthew chapter 15 that our brother has already read for us. I'm going to do a little emphasizing where I think I want to highlight some things. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bible, hold them up in the air. Thanks again for bringing them with you. If you didn't bring them with you, you can certainly follow along on the screen behind or in the Bible that you should find in the pew in front of you. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to reread just those 11 verses. And again, I'm going to do certain emphasizing here. You with me? Okay. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, listen, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Why do they break the tradition of us, the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. I love Jesus' reply. And why do you break the command of God? Yeah, you say they break the tradition of the elders, but you guys, who are supposed to be the gatekeepers of the law, you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition. I love that response. For God said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. I know when I said, would you turn to Matthew 15, you were hoping I was going to say, would you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, weren't you? Because you have that one page of your Bible with you. Jesus' audience were the crowds, but his targeted audience were the Pharisees. He says the Pharisees came and they criticized Jesus for not rebuking his disciples for not washing their hands. The targeted group were the Pharisees. Now, you need to understand something about the Pharisees. They loved the law. They didn't necessarily love the giver of the law, but they loved the law, and they loved holding that law over people's heads. As Jesus would say, you hypocrites, you bind up these burdens and put them on men's shoulders, but you don't lift a finger to help them. They loved the law, and they loved holding it over people's heads. And a lot of them actually did love the Lord. And I think Saul loved God. Even as he was persecuting the church as a Pharisee, he did it because he thought he was honoring God with it. Jesus is saying that he is God, and yet there's only one God, according to Deuteronomy 6. There's only one God, and Jesus is saying he's God. All these followers are following Jesus, so I'm going to do this for God's sake. And Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? And turned him around. But he thought he was zealous for God. I think he loved God, but he had it all wrong. Now, here's the thing. A lot of the Pharisees did love Jesus. Remember Nicodemus? He comes to Jesus at night. He wants a private audience with him, perhaps because he didn't want to be seen, but he is Israel's teacher, easily noted. And he asks Jesus about some things, and Jesus tells him about being born again. And Nicodemus has some questions, but he listens to Jesus. I think he watches him intently. He knows that Jesus has been healing, and this excites him. And we see that when the council meets just before Jesus is arrested to be persecuted and put to death, Nicodemus stands up for Jesus. And we know that as Jesus is crucified on the cross, and he dies. Joseph of Arimathea comes to take the body, but who's with him? Only one gospel accounts it. Joseph of Arimathea is there with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus brings with him 70-plus pounds of myrrh and aloes to wrap Jesus' body. This is a man who doesn't care what all the other Pharisees. So there were some Pharisees that loved Jesus, but... And we see a record in Acts chapter 15 as well. It says, but the believing Pharisees got up and challenged the other disciples about law and grace. You can read it for yourself. But a lot of the Pharisees didn't love God. They loved the law, but they didn't love God. And if you were to ask every Pharisee, do you love God? They say, yes, I love God. And yet they didn't. And it's interesting what Jesus calls them. He says, you brood of vipers. I mean, I think that's a big deal. But if someone were to call you an SOB, can I say that on a Sunday morning? I said it Saturday night, it's acceptable, but on Sunday mornings, okay. If somebody were to call you an SOB, you know what those words mean, right? Sorry, young ones. You know what those words mean. But the bottom line is, most people like dogs, right? Most people like female dogs. They're usually the milder of the breed, right? So you're called the son of that. Yeah, it's pejorative. It's a nasty phrase, but when you break it down, it doesn't seem so bad when you compare it to you brood of vipers, you children of venomous snakes. I don't know anybody but my son-in-law who likes venomous snakes. You sons of venomous snakes, you sons of Satan. Your father is the father of lies. He speaks his own language. When you lie and you're a murderer and you follow your father, the devil. Jesus used some pretty harsh words. Those Pharisees, they might say they love God, but they didn't. They were religious, and they attended church every Sunday morning, but they really didn't love God. So we have to ask that question. Let's look at what Jesus' direct rebuke to them was. He says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Who would have thought as they were growing up in Pharisee school that they would have thought that this Isaiah passage would have been applied to them? Jesus says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me, but their worship is empty. Their teachings are merely human rules. Now, I got to tell you, as I looked at this, I said, wow, this is a lot here. So instead of trying to get them all packed into one, we're going to take them one at a time over the next 4 weeks, starting with today. They honor me with their lips, number two, but their hearts are far from me. Number three, they worship me in vain. And number four, their rules are rules simply of men. They're not God's rules. So I want to talk about those things, and that's just the tip of this long iceberg. God has already given me an idea. This might take till Jesus comes. Is that okay with you? Because we're talking about the evidence that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love our neighbor as ourselves and love each other. If this is the greatest thing on God's heart, it has to be the greatest thing on ours, and we better have some evidence to it. So let's take a look at this first one as we consider they honor me with their lips, as we consider this word. Now, Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips. It's the same word used that in the same passage where Jesus talks about honoring your mother and your father. It's the same word used. Honoring or the place of honor at a banquet. You take the highest position, the place of honor. The definition of the word means to show respect. When you honor your mother and your father, you show them respect. High esteem, to elevate them to a high position. I think this is so critical. As a father of six children and my fifth grandchild on the way, I got to tell you, I want to be honored. I think I've deserved it. And I got to tell you, you'd laugh. Huh? All right, so here's the thing. The Bible says, and I think it's a good thing, children, honor, esteem them. Raise them up, if you will, your mother and your father. Let me tell you something. I think I've shared this with you before. When my daughters were of that dating age, you know, 26 and 27, when they first started to date, and the boys started coming around my house, my wife would greet the new guys. Some of them didn't last long. Some of them didn't get through the door, believe it or not. She would say to the boys, make sure when he comes into the room that you stand up and you greet him. It's me. Because he's all about honor. And if you honor him, you'll make points with him. And I tell people, if you are a slouch on the couch, when I come in the door, you don't greet me, you don't say hi to me, you're out the door. Not literally, but in my mind, you're out the door. And if you say, Mr. Nelson, so good to see you, I say, good to have you with us. You can eat anything in my refrigerator, and you can stay as long as you want, but you got to show honor. You follow that? I think it's a good thing. Doesn't mean I've always honored others, but this is what he's talking about, honor. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now, obviously, we're going to take just the first part of that. These people honor me with their lips. Now, this is a great thing for the Pharisees to do, and a great thing for you and I to do if we are not actors. The word hypocrites, hypocrite, is the word actor in the Greek. It's somebody who plays behind a mask or presents behind a mask. Literally, broken down, it means those who speak from behind a mask. It's an actor. And if we're acting like these people did, they say they love God, but they were really hypocrites, then we have a problem. But the first phrase there, these people honor me with their lips, is actually a good thing. So we're going to take a look at that. And I thought of three things, three ways that we can show love for God by honoring him with our lips. Some of this might sting, but I'm going to ask you to pay attention. Only a couple more minutes left. Joe, was it worth it last night? It was worth it. Praise the Lord. He said it because I paid him. Here we go. Number one. If we're going to honor God with our lips, let's repeat that. Honor God with our lips. Just want to make sure we're all on the same page. If we're going to do that, first thing, don't make his name meaningless. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you know these are the Ten Commandments. This is the third commandment. God says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold guiltless anyone who misuses his name. Do you realize that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, and that name is Jesus? You cannot be saved by any other name. It's the most important name there is. Jesus took the people out into the mountain just before he was about to ascend into heaven. He says, listen, all authority, Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all people groups, baptizing them, making them associate with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, taking on the faith of the Son of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That name is so important. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes these words. He writes, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave Jesus the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." The name is so important. Don't make it meaningless. Now, I'm going to challenge you today. I'm going to ask that we stop writing or saying OMG. OMG. Y'all know what it means. You knew what SOB means. I hope you know what OMG means, right? OMG. Or even saying it outright. Oh, my God. Now, there are times when you are actually calling on his name. That's a different scenario. But when we use it just ever so flippantly, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That car is so cool, right? Oh, my God. We just use it and say, Pastor, you know that's a little crazy. It doesn't mean anything when we say it. And if that's your attitude, you've lost the battle. You need to put your armor back on and get back into the fight. If you're saying that saying OMG is no big deal, you've made, oh my God, that name meaningless. It means nothing to you. It's just an expression. Exactly right. There's only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We can't make that name meaningless. So as we try to honor God with our lips, please don't make it, and please don't use it profanely. You know, I find it fascinating that if you're a teacher in some school systems, if you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, you could be kicked out of the school. You could have your job in jeopardy. But if you say it with such emphasis, but you're saying it in anger because you're annoyed at a student or another faculty member, that's just perfectly fine. So long as it is used profanely, as long as you're not trying to honor Christ by saying his name or relating to it, it's fine. Trying to minimize or make meaningless the name of Jesus. So please, please don't profane his name. So many times when we do the membership interview, we ask, is there evidence of regeneration? Almost invariably. Almost every single person says, the first thing that changed in me when I came to faith in Jesus Christ was my language. I stopped using God's name in vain. I don't know about you. I had a woman come up to me yesterday after the service. She said, you know what? When my kids were growing up and they were just saying such foul things, she said, I'd rather you use the F word than to take my Lord's name in vain because they were being so foul with Jesus. I don't know about you, but that word doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I think it's very crude. But when someone takes the Lord's name in vain, it just goes right through my heart. I just feel so sad, and I get a little ire going. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when people take my Messiah's name and try to make it meaningless. But people say that my language changed. Now I can't stand that kind of foulness. Okay, that's the first thing. We got a couple more very quickly. Number two, honor the Lord with your lips as we speak about those that were made in his image. As we speak about other people, a couple points. Encourage others rather than tear them down. Encourage others. As I've said many times, any fool can tear down a house. It takes a wise man to build one. Any fool can tear me down. I've been torn down. This young man who's a wrestler, he's been torn down by people on Facebook or wherever venue, social media. Who cares? Any fool can tear down another person. I can tear every single person in this room down because we're all faulty. But it takes a wise man to build up a house, to encourage one another. And that's what the word encourage means. It means to build up. Encourage one another with your lips. By honoring God with your lips, honor his creation. Protect the dignity of others around you rather than gossiping about them. Remember that love definition? Love always protects. Well, it really means to build a roof over, right? To cover, put a covering over their reputation. Don't diminish them. Don't gossip about them. Then thirdly, honor those who are due honor. Honor your parents. We got that one down, hopefully. But you know who else is worthy of honor? You know who else is worthy of honor in this room? You know who's worthy of me honoring? Every single one of you. In Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, honor one another above yourselves. That's everyone. Paul says a different way in Philippians. He says, consider the needs of others above yourself. That means every single person in this room is worthy of being honored by the other. Can I get an amen? So honor God with our lips by the way we speak of his creation. Then finally, and then I'm done. Honor the Lord with your lips by sharing Jesus with others vocally. Use your lips. Talk about Jesus. There's an expression that Christianity is better caught than taught. That's a cop-out. That's nonsense. The catching part has to happen after it's taught. The Bible doesn't say in Romans chapter 10, and all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how can they call on the one of whom they have not seen somebody demonstrating with their actions? No, of whom they have not heard. How can they call on Jesus if they've never heard about him? Honor God with your lips by telling people about him. That's the way they're going to be saved. There is so much to explore. And then I'm done. There's so much to explore as we consider the evidence in our lives about loving God and loving others and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We're going to take this in pieces. We're going to talk about loving God. We're going to talk about loving our neighbor. We're going to be talking about loving the body of Christ. But it's going to be a while. Are you with me, church? Honor him with your lips. The last thing I want to hear is Jesus say, yeah, Isaiah was right about you, Randy. You honor God with your lips, but your heart is far from him. I don't want that. I pray the same for you. Would you pray with me? Loving Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather once again in your house. And I pray that you would do like you did with the prophet of old, and that you would take, at least figuratively, a hot burning coal and put it to our lips. For we oftentimes are people of unclean lips, and we live among a people of unclean lips. So would you remove that iniquity from us? And Lord, would you give us lips that honor you and honor one another? Lord, would you convict us the moment we're tempted to do something otherwise, to take your name and make it meaningless, to use your name profanely, to speak of others foully, to withhold sharing the good news of Jesus because we're afraid. May we honor you with our lips. And Father God, now, if there is anything that was dishonoring to you in this, if there is anything of my flesh that has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you once again, church, for your attention. I'm going to ask that you would stand for the closing benediction, and then I'm going to invite you to a table with all kinds of literature on it. And it's downstairs. Joe is about to head down there now. Please take a few moments with him, and hopefully God will direct your steps in that. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, now and forevermore. Amen. Lord bless you and go in peace. Love you guys.